That's right. We are going to dive straight in without too much preamble. So, you ready to roll?
Yes.
All right. Well, this is that what I say? Well, this is Sherry Gregory.
And I'm Amy Carroll.
And you're listening to Grit and Grace, Good Girls Breaking Bad Rules, the podcast that equips you to lose who you're not, love who you are, and live your one life well.
You know, Sherry, we've been talking the last couple weeks about things that derail our holidays. And I think one of them that can derail me the fastest is handing over the authority in my life to what my Christmas should look like.
Those of us who are recovering people pleasers and reforming perfectionists, we can just hand authority over on a silver platter without even realizing we're doing it. Like we don't do it on purpose.
Absolutely. And one of our listeners said something similar. She said, "When I buy into perfectionism and people pleasing, I come home ashamed, like I've sold myself out. I'm not living authentically. Somehow, my identity seems tied to looking good."
Oh,
Oh!
that just hits in the gut, doesn't it?
Wow.
You know, and
For
if we were
sure.
doing Facebook Live, I would ask our listeners to give hearts if they understand what this listener is saying, because I think we all get that, the idea that our identity feels so tied to looking good.
Absolutely. Well, Sherry, who have you turned your authority over to during the holidays in the past?
Well, if I said Sears Portrait Studio, would that date me too much?
Yes. But me too.
I'm just thinking back because I know that we have quite a few listeners who do have younger children, unlike you and me. But I'm thinking back to the amount of authority I gave to, and I'm not calling out Sears. There were other places, I can't remember their names, but every year we would make the appointment and I would fuss and fret over looking good. And we had to be, you know, I dragged my happy, smiling family to be on time for our appointment, but they never ran on time. Like, I mean, did you ever have squirming children while you waited like 30, 45? Like, it's the longest minutes in the world to keep the kids happy. And then this is for those of you youngins who don't remember the days before digital photography, you didn't know what your pictures turned out like. You could not see a preview. I mean, I remember the first time I got to see a preview, it was like magic and birds sang and butterflies flew around me. But back in the day, they would just take picture after picture, and then it was weeks. Like we would do this practically in the summer, and then it would be weeks and weeks. And here's the authority part, okay? Aside from the fact that I made my whole family miserable to look happy, there's just something wrong with that.
Sugared up kid.
That's right. But then I would go by myself to that appointment and they would put the portraits in frames. And my kids always looked so miserable. None of us looked like us. And I was always so disappointed. And the prices were astronomical, at least for the
Yeah.
budget we were on. But then these salespeople would tell me what they were going to do with the pictures of my babies if I didn't pay. They were going to throw them in the trash.
Terrible.
It was the end of the world. And so, yes, I have given way too much authority and way too much money. But, okay, so for those of you who have no idea what I'm talking about, it represents an institution getting authority. And so more realistically and more recently, it's been the schools that our kids are in their programs, and so their calendar has the authority, and the churches that we're involved in, and they have huge authority over our lives and schedules at Christmas. How about you?
Oh, no, that's so good. Okay, I really am going to share, but I got to tell you something hilarious first.
Do tell.
Well, you know, I shared about our family pictures
Yes.
that
Oh.
actually went well. Thank goodness for digital photography, and my niece Megan is the best, and she's so fast. It was freezing cold, but at least we were outside. We weren't in a studio. We didn't have to wait in line, all the things you just talked about. But here's the best. So I shared on the Grit and Grace Facebook page the
Yes.
string. Well, the picture, I actually had to ask for permission because it's one of my friends from my church. It's her
Okay.
family.
Yeah.
And you know what she told me?
What?
You know her cute little smiling children?
Yeah.
Do you know why they were smiling?
Why?
Because she had an app on her phone of somebody passing gas, and that's what made them laugh. Okay, mom win. That's all I gotta say.
She gets a
Jessica,
medal.
you rock. But anyway, okay,
that's so why those smiles didn't look forced. Those were natural. Those kids were giggling the whole way.
Okay, now my friend, of course, looked so perfect in that picture, and she is so lovely and truly a godly young woman. But I got to tell you, I was so impressed with that.
You know, a dyed-in-the-wool perfectionist would never think of that. It just wouldn't occur to us.
Just, I was like, she was like my hero. But anyway, okay, so places that I have given authority to.
You know, like, that's the only takeaway for this entire episode, Amy. No matter what we say that is deep, profound, and spiritual, that's what people are going to remember. So go ahead, go ahead.
Oh my goodness. Okay, back off the rabbit trail here. All right, so Southern Living. Now, I don't actually subscribe to Southern Living anymore. I have to confess, because it's not really my style as much anymore. But in the South, for Southern girls, Southern Living magazine is, it's the pinnacle of taste and refinement. And so, you know, I used to get Southern Living, and I decorated my Christmas house according to Southern Living. It was the authority. But, you know, last year we were together right before Christmas time in California, and we saw the cutest thing. Do you remember?
I do.
It was the pinkest tree because it was covered with flamingos.
It was covered with flamingos.
And there was something that it tickled me pink about that, because I was like, that's more my kind of tree than a Southern Living tree. And so I'm making progress, but it's imperfect progress. And then the other thing that's an authority, sadly, and we've talked about this so many times, but everybody's highlight reels on social media. Mm-hmm. And it's so funny, because I realized last week that I'm doing it too, because my youngest is engaged and is getting married. And hey, the wedding thing is great. And I have to say, truly awful, only because other people's expectations come into play so much, and trying to figure out how to navigate that and not hurt people's feelings and all that. But of course, I've only been posting cute pictures of the whole wedding process, not the painful, you know, a few little painful conversations here or there. But anyway, social media.
Where do you think these authorities, and our listeners can certainly fill in with their own versions of authorities that they feel in their lives, where do you think these even come from? How do these get established in our lives?
I believe, particularly during the holiday, they come from traditions. Traditions are a double-edged sword, aren't they? Because on one hand, I do believe that God made us to love and respond viscerally to traditions. I think about the Jewish festivals. That's not so much different than some of our Christmas traditions that are supposed to bring that emotional reaction, reactions like thankfulness and love and all those things that we should be feeling at Christmas time. But then sometimes those traditions in the hands of human beings get twisted into something different. And I was thinking about it, and I thought, traditions are meant to serve our souls, but not enslave them. And I think we can get really enslaved to traditions this time of year.
We get locked in. That is a great way of thinking about them. You know, as I think back, I realize I inherited mine. I grew up in a family that was very involved in the local church school and very involved in church. And I realized, I have no concept of a family calendar. We start with the school calendar, and then we add our family things onto it. Like, I've never started with a blank calendar as a family and said, we come first. It's always the school and church that establishes everything first, and then we fit ourselves in around the cracks. I know. I see the look on your face.
Well, I'm thinking same, except we're not part of the school calendar anymore. But
I don't have an answer to that, but it really made me realize, wow, this goes so far back. This predates any decision-making on my part. And so this conversation is making me want to be much more intentional and evaluate which of these things are serving versus which are enslaving.
So have you ever caved into the pressure of people pleasing in December, Sherry?
Oh my word. You know, for some reason,
hypothetical who wrote this question? They know us, right?
Well, and for some reason, I must be feeling very nostalgic. Jonathan has a birthday coming up, so I must be thinking about when the kids were little. And I made so many exceptions with the kids when they were younger. You know, we had family members who thought we were so strict because we had things like limitations on how much sugar they could have, and we had bedtimes, and there were movies they could or couldn't watch. But like all through December, I just like threw it all out the window. Like I wanted to be cool mom, and there was pressure from them, which of course turned into pressure from the kids. And, you know, it's Christmas. We're all having such a good time. Why spoil such a beautiful moment would be the kind of thing going through my head. And so I would do what felt easiest in the moment. And this is such a tendency for me. I would cave for the moment. And then it would be so hard in the weeks and even the months to come to restore a sense of normalcy, to get back to those routines that really, really did serve us. Here's the thing. When I was with those family members trying to prove that I wasn't such a horrible mom, I caved to the people pleasing when the people were around me. But when it came to the consequences, I was on my own. Like I was in January, I was home by myself with those kids trying to restore discipline, and those people were nowhere to be found.
Boot camp in January.
Yep. How about you? I'm sure you've never caved to people pleasing in December. You have stood firm.
You know, it's so funny because Barry and I grew up so differently in several ways. But one of the main ones is that my extended family lived half a country away. So I grew up in North Carolina. My extended family lived in Kansas and Colorado. So we didn't make lots and lots of trips. Mm-hmm. We would go some and they would come to us some, but there just wasn't tons of contact. Whereas Barry grew up with his immediate family all in North Carolina, very close by. And so with that came the expectation of visits. Mm. And that was a good thing. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, by the time Barry's grandparents died, in some ways, I had gotten to know them better than my own. And so I loved that. You know, I loved that relationship. But the scheduling around holidays has always been really tough. And this year in particular, there was a little bit of grousing going on. And at one point, I finally said, you know, what I've realized is that my kids will not be at my house for a single day over Thanksgiving and Christmas. Mm. And there was a sudden silence
as it sunk into multiple layers and levels.
But you know what? I went back and did a little rescheduling because I realized that's not okay with me. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, I want to see our families. I want to spend time with our families. But for my boys not to be at our house at all was not okay with me. So we did a little creative rescheduling. It's going to work out great. But it's that the scheduling parts have always been the hardest for us.
That makes sense. That makes sense. That, you know, the more people involved, the more scheduling there's going to be.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, what do you feel like happens when we focus more on making the magic happen for our people than actually listening to God's guidance as we celebrate his son's birth?
Again, who wrote this question? I read the question and I immediately teared up because it's just the temptation. And I think especially culturally, but also personally, we've just continued to chase more and more and more. And as we do, we receive less and less and less. I feel that so deeply, especially this year for some reason. And it was interesting. My father-in-law, we spent Thanksgiving with them. It was a wonderful time. And he said, Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday. And I said, really? Why? And he said, because the expectations are so low. Like there's no, you know, presents to bring. Mm-hmm. And it's just being together and being thankful. I started thinking about that and I thought, wow, he's got a really good point. Mm. And he was talking about just the beauty of simplicity, that Thanksgiving is a simpler holiday. Mm. And I thought, why can't we do that for Christmas? You know,
I was thinking to myself, you know, what must it be like from God's perspective that we create all this chaos and we do it under the name of Christmas? I mean, he's never asked us to do that. In fact, it's kind of the opposite of what he asks for from us in Scripture. And I thought, what would I do if someone insisted on bringing a gift to my child's birthday that I knew and had even told them was inappropriate. Like if I said, don't bring this, and they showed up with it, I would be so upset. I would be so offended if I had been that specific. And yet I realized I do this every single year. I act like God's word doesn't apply. Like all the things he says he wants from me somehow go out the window in December, and then they show back up again in January. And so I've been thinking maybe this is a really good time of year for me to spend more time listening through his word to what he says he actually wants, rather than to all the chaos the world is trying to sell us on.
Selah. Hello. I mean, Matt, we dropped the mic. This is that was worth the episode, Sherry. So good. Oh, wow. Okay. I'm going to be thinking about that the whole time. This is Jesus's party.
Yeah.
Bringing stuff to the party that's not welcome is not a good thing.
Well, and listen to his dad. His dad knows what the best things are to bring to the party, for heaven's sake. I mean,
raise the roof, drop mic, whatever, all the things. That right there. I love it.
All right. What's the focus verse for this episode?
Am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ, which is Galatians 1:10 in the NIV. You had an additional thought on this, though, Sherry.
I did. Recently, our women's group did a study of this verse and kind of contrasted it with 1 Corinthians 10:33, in which Paul says, I too try to please everyone in everything I do. I don't just do what is best for me. I do what is best for others so that many may be saved. And so we were like, he's contradicting himself. He says he doesn't try to please people, but he does please people. So hang on a second. But when I dug into that a little bit further, the Galatians verse is talking about the gospel. And so when it comes to the gospel, personal preferences don't come into the picture. The 1 Corinthians verse I just quoted, that one's about personal preferences. And so I realized it's about truth versus taste. And so it's okay to people please when it comes to taste. In fact, my mother showed great love to my husband because she would always make a little version of everything she cooked with no onions because he didn't like onions. Well, that was just a matter of taste. But for those of us who are recovering people pleasers, what we have to remember is we don't enter into people pleasing when it comes to truth, just when it comes to taste. Then we can accommodate, but never with truth.
Awesome. Well, that addresses the bad rule for this episode, which is I have to keep my people happy this season. We have to say,
good luck.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's that. But then, I mean, we always have to assess, is it taste or truth?
Yeah.
That we're applying that bad rule to. One is okay, one's not.
And then what's the flip side of that bad rule?
It's enough to please God today. You know, originally I had written, it's enough to please God every day. I was like, no, that's too much.
Hearing you say this today, I can just feel myself exhaling and going, oh, that's all I need to focus on. And that is all he's asking, is just enough for today. So this episode was put together by one of our interns, Shannon Gurin. Here's how she expressed the connection to our theme of his grace is enough. She said, our identity is rooted in what Christ did for us on the cross, which defines grace, and that's enough. When we can rest in knowing that the only one we should be trying to please is God, it changes everything. We hope you've enjoyed this episode of Grit and Grace.
Join us next week when we'll be talking about the best way to be yourself this Christmas.
For today, grow your grit. Embrace God's grace. And when you run across a bad rule, you know what to do. Go right on ahead and break it.
You know, Sherry, we've been talking the last couple weeks about things that derail our holidays. And I think one of them that can derail us really quickly is trying to be some... No. That's not the one we're doing.
That's okay. But I like the idea of talking about what's derailing our holidays.
Okay. I think one of the things that can derail me the fastest.